Our Father, we pray that as we look at your word, as we look at John 1, that we would see Jesus for who he really is. We pray that you would lift up our hearts, lift up our minds, that we would believe this word, and that it would actually impact us and impact our hearts, impact our lives, that we would trust you with all that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Around a year and a half ago, Beck and I got home from church at around 6:30 at night, and one of our neighbours at the college was standing outside, vaguely near our front door. And so we stopped to talk to her, and we got transfixed by the moon. It was behind some clouds. It was huge, and it was radiating orange. We were wondering if it was because of the fires that were in Western Australia at the time. I've no idea, is the fire way over there able to impact the moon all the way over here? As we stared at it, our eyes started to sting a bit. It was like the moon was on fire itself. Now, it took us a few minutes, but eventually we worked it out. This moon that we had been staring at was actually the sun. We had been staring at the sun, making our eyes sore, and we hadn't even realised it. The cloud had given the sun enough cover that we couldn't even recognise it. Can you believe it? Can you believe something so ridiculous that three adults couldn't recognise the sun when we saw it? It is ridiculous, and yet it's true. But there's an even more ridiculous and true story that John tells us in these first verses in his gospel. It's the story of a world that has rejected its maker. The story of a world that doesn't know its maker, even though he gives life and light, and even though he came to reveal God to us. John 1, 1-18 is a rich passage. But it's not just rich, it's useful. It tears away the clouds that block our view, and it shows us who Jesus really is. This passage before us should leave us with a profound sense of awe and wonder. It tells us who Jesus really is. Its message: Jesus reveals the invisible God. And we can divide how John describes Jesus into three points. In verses 1 to 5, Jesus is the God of creation. In verses 6 to 13, Jesus is the God of recreation. And in verses 14 to 18, Jesus is the God of revelation. Jesus is the God of creation. He is the eternal God who made us. He's the God of recreation. He entered our world. He came to us so that those who receive him would be remade to become children of God. And he's the God of revelation. Through Jesus' words and through his works, we know the Father. Jesus reveals the invisible God. And so let's look at verses 1 to 5. Let's look at Jesus as the God of creation. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, even if you've only picked up the Bible once in your life, the chances are that those words are strangely familiar to you, because they're echoing words that are the very first words in the Bible. And we read them this morning, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, John is starting his gospel much earlier than any of the other three Gospels. He starts at the very beginning, in eternity. He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. There was no beginning for the Word. He was already there in the beginning. He is eternal. But John doesn't just say that Jesus is eternal and leave it at that. He goes on, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These are strange and wonderful words, aren't they? The Word, Jesus, is with God, and yet He is God. He's God, and yet distinct from Him. How can these things work? This is a very strange idea. And no other religion has it. It's only in the Bible that you'll find this idea that God is both one and not one. Jesus is God. He does the things only God can do. He says the things that God, only God has the authority to say. And yet, as we read through his life, we see him praying to and submitting to the Father. Later on in John's Gospel, we discover that there's also the Spirit. The Bible proclaims that God is one, yet three. One in essence, in Godness, and yet three different persons, three different people coming from him, all bound together in glorious, perfect love, united together because they are one, and yet they're three. Now, this is all really hard to understand. I know that I don't understand it myself. And so people have come up with some different ways to try and illustrate this idea, to try and understand the Trinity. We compare God with water, or with a triangle, or an egg, or even the sun. But none of them work, really, to describe God. They all break down. Don't have the time to go into it all now. If you're curious, you can ask me later. But none of them work, which shouldn't surprise us, really, should it? Because God, this idea of Trinity especially, is completely different to anything else in our experience. There is no one like our God. All we can do is trust what God says about himself. He is one, and he is three. And so in this very first verse, we're confronted with this wonderful reality that Jesus is one of the three. He is God and his creator. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And again, this brings us back to Genesis 1. God was there in the beginning. His Spirit was hovering over the waters, and into the silence, into the darkness, God says, let there be light. God created with a word. Jesus was the one through whom God the Father made all things. And verse 3 really wants to emphasize that. You can see in the first half it says that he made everything. And then in the second half it says that there wasn't anything created that wasn't created by him. There's not one thing created that you could say, oh, someone else made that. Jesus didn't make that bit. Someone else made that. No, anything that's created, it was made by Jesus. There's no exceptions. It was the Word who created it. Most of our world don't believe this. I'm sure you're aware. Maybe you've heard their arguments. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that God made Jesus. But if you look at verse 3, that doesn't really make sense, does it? Because it's Jesus who made all things that were made. He would have had to have made himself if he was created. It doesn't make sense. How can they square that? Atheists think that we don't need a creator, which makes no sense to me. How could this all start if there was no God? If you're struggling to understand this or come to grips with the idea that Jesus is creator, then please talk to me, because this is where John begins in his gospel. He wants us to appreciate who Jesus is. Because knowing Jesus, knowing who he is, will change everything, as we'll discover as we keep reading through John's gospel. Now, if you believe these verses, then let me encourage you to keep believing them and to rejoice in them. Because our God is Trinity. Isn't that amazing? Who would make this up? We can stand in wonder at our God. Our God is Trinity. There is no one like him. Isn't he wondrous? Isn't he wonderful? Now, for some of us, it's easy to forget that Jesus is God. We focus on other things, good things, like his death on the cross, his power, his love. We read the Gospels and we're amazed at the things that he said. Those are all good things to think about and to be amazed about. But when was the last time that you were blown away, that you were gobsmacked that Jesus is God? Jesus being God makes those other things even more amazing. Because it's God teaching us as Jesus teaches us. This is God being caring and loving as he heals someone. This is God on the cross. This is the one we come to worship and love. And so are we a church who is in awe of Jesus because he is our God? Verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. People in the darkness of their minds refuse to see Jesus for who he is. The God of creation, the God who reveals the invisible God. And this dark refusal to know or to accept Jesus leads us to our next point in verses 6 to 13. Jesus is the God of recreation. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Belief, that's the reason that God sent John the Baptist, because it's only by believing in Jesus that the people of this dark, rebellious, sinful world will have life. Because Jesus is the God of recreation. The tragedy is that so many people in our world refuse to listen. Despite God sending prophet after prophet through the Old Testament who said that Jesus was coming, despite sending John the Baptist who came to prepare the people, despite sending Jesus himself, the people of this world have refused to believe. Even though, verse 10, the world was made through him. Verse 11, the Jews were his special people. They refused to see. They rejected him. The light came, but they refused him. A while ago, I was sleeping soundly in bed at night when, for some reason, one of my kids, who shall remain nameless, got out of bed, came to our room, and turned the light on. I wasn't very happy that the light had intruded into the darkness. I liked that darkness. I wanted sleep. I was asleep, and now suddenly I'm awake. Suddenly light was blinding me, burning my eyes that were accustomed to the darkness. I rejected the light because of my desire to sleep. Now, why would the people of this world reject Jesus who came as the light? Why would his own people reject him, do you think? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. The world rejects him because they love doing evil. Our friends and family don't reject him simply because they don't have enough information. They don't want to know that Jesus is that Jesus has come to reveal this holy God. Now, this isn't how I'm normally tempted to think. I don't know about you, but I am tempted to think that I can convince people to become Christian. My friends, my family, that I can argue them in. I can knock down all their arguments. Or maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time. Maybe this is your first time here. And you think that you are willing for someone to convince you. They just haven't yet. You see, Jesus here says that both of us are wrong. While it's important for me to give good reasons for Jesus and for Christianity, no one will become a Christian by my arguments. They're in darkness, and they don't want to come into the light. And maybe that's true of someone here. You don't want to see the light and to receive Jesus, even unconsciously. Now, of course, before someone can receive Jesus, they need to have information about him. They need to know about him. And so we do need to present information and reasons. If you don't know much about Jesus and you'd like to know, well, then you're very welcome here. Come, ask questions, read through the rest of John's Gospel. But even at that point that you have enough information, on your own, you still won't want to receive Jesus and leave the darkness. But there is hope. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, most people do reject the light, but there are blessed exceptions. Why? What makes these people so special that they can find it, that they can escape the darkness and come into the light? Well, verse 13 says that it's only those who have been born of God. You see, Jesus is the God of recreation, and he can so radically change you that you want to leave that darkness and enter the light and believe in him. Only by believing in him can you be given the right to become a child of God. And so if you haven't received Jesus, let me urge you to do it now. Maybe Jesus is changing you even now to receive him. Don't assume that because you've been coming to church all your life that you're fine. This is a new day. This is a new era for this church, a new era for me, and it can be a new era for you. Don't stay in the darkness. Be willing to walk in the light. At first, it'll be like walking from a pitch black room into one full of light. You'll be squinting, unable to bear it all right away. All the bad things that you've done and all the bad things that you've thought will be exposed, laid bare. But Jesus doesn't expose these things to us to rub our faces in them. He does it so that we can repent, so that we can find forgiveness. And so come. Become a child of God. Receive Jesus. Turn from your sins. Submit to Jesus as your Lord and as your God. And if you've already done that, rejoice. Rejoice that you're not in darkness, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Praise Him for this miracle that He has done in you, making you His child. But also, we can't just leave it there. We can't just praise Him for what He's done for us. We need to pray. Pray for our friends and for our family, for workmates, for neighbours. They are in darkness. They love their sin. And so what do? Well, we seek to show them practical love. We seek to have spiritual conversations with them, absolutely. But pray for them. Because they love the darkness, and your words, no matter how true, without the work of God in them, will do nothing. They love the darkness. And so pray that they would believe in Jesus. Pray that they would grow to hate the darkness. That they would grow to love Jesus. Pray that Jesus would recreate them. Jesus is the God of creation. He made us. And He's the God of recreation. And so we can have hope for our friends and for our family. And He's also the God of revelation, verses 14 to 18. And really, I think that's the main point of this whole passage. Jesus reveals the invisible God. And He can do that because He is God. He is the God of creation. And He recreates people by first revealing God to them. Jesus is the God of revelation. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The God who made this world became a part of this world. He became flesh, and He dwelled with us. Now, God dwelling with us is what all of the Old Testament anticipated. The Bible starts with God dwelling with His people. And then they sin and are cast away from Him. And then later He makes for Himself a new kingdom. He gives the Israelites detailed instructions for building a tent called a tabernacle, which would be in the middle of their camp. God was there with them in the camp, dwelling with them. But this tent was only symbolic of God dwelling with His people. And Solomon knew this when he built the temple, which would replace that tent. He says in his prayer in 1 Kings 8, verse 27, "Heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built." God didn't really dwell in that tent or that temple. They were symbols showing the people that God was for them. He loved them. They could have a relationship with Him. They could worship Him. But John 1:14 says that God became flesh. The Word became flesh. The second person of the Trinity really did walk among us. God wasn't just here symbolically. He really was here. The second person of the Trinity really was born, really was named Jesus. He really did die, and He really was raised. And in verse 14, John says that he and the other disciples really did see Him. They saw Him perform miracles and reveal His glory and tell them the truth about heavenly things. But why? Why would He come? Why would He be willing to do that? There's lots of ways that we could answer that question. And one of them is in verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is at the bosom, in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus is the God of revelation. Jesus reveals the invisible God. That's why he came, to show us the Father. Have you ever walked into a room at night to just quickly pick up something and not turn the light on? In your head, you know exactly where that thing is. So you don't bother with the light. You just walk in, you put your hand down, and it's not there. So you think, oh. So you start moving your hand around a little bit. Maybe I'm just slightly off. Look around, go even wider. No, it's not there. You have to go. You have to go back to the door, turn the light on, come back with light to try and find it. In a way, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to shine the light on God. Because without Jesus, not only do we not know where to find God, but we actually have no idea what God looks like. We have no idea what he looks like, and so we invent a God of our own. You see, people say things like, oh, I could never believe in a God who says that. I could never believe in a God who does that. We invent a God who thinks like we do, who loves what we love, who hates what we hate, because we don't actually know what God is like. And so God became flesh. And because Jesus is so intimately united with the Father, Jesus' words and actions show us what the Father is like. We learn what the Father loves and what he hates. Instead of making it up, we learn. We learn about his power and his plans. Even though we've never seen the Father, we can know him because Jesus reveals him. Jesus reveals the invisible God. He is the God of revelation. And so will we listen to Jesus? Will we learn from him what God is like? If you're not a Christian, are you willing to explore what Jesus taught about God? In these verses, John makes big claims about Jesus. But this is just the start of his book. He's going to flesh it all out later, so read the rest. Don't stay comfortable in the darkness. Don't be content to come to church week after week without knowing the God who has revealed himself. Read and encounter the true and living God. And if you're already a Christian, this is just as important for you. Does your view of God line up with what Jesus has revealed? If we want to really know God, then we can't trust our own instincts, our own natural thoughts or beliefs. We need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. He is the God who became flesh to reveal God to us. He's the God of revelation, and so we need to listen to him. And like I've already said before, we need to rejoice because God came to us. He's revealed himself when we couldn't find him on our own. This is grace. Who would have ever thought that the eternal God would become flesh? That he wanted us to know him that badly? This is glorious news. Jesus is the God of revelation. He came to this world to reveal the invisible God. No longer is God out there in the distance. He's not far off. He came close. He knows what it is to live a human life. He suffered in his own flesh the punishment for our sin. If there's only one thing that Jesus has revealed about God, surely it is that he loves us. Why else would the Father give his only Son for us? Why else would Jesus willingly suffer? Why else would he use us in his mission to save people from their sin? Jesus reveals God to us, and what a God he has shown. This beginning of John's Gospel is a rich description of Jesus, of who he is and what he came to do. After reading it, our view of Jesus should be clearer. The clouds should have been torn away so that the glory of the Son can be seen. So much more could be said. If we were to slow down and go slower through these verses, we could dig up some amazing treasure. But for now, let's be in awe of who our God is. Let's be in awe that our God who loves us. Jesus is eternal. He is part of the Trinity. He is Creator. He was rejected by the world who are in darkness, but still he remakes people so that they would become children of God. He became flesh to show us the Father. Jesus reveals the invisible God. He has turned on the light while we are in darkness. And so are you in awe at this God? Can you rejoice that he is your God? Do you believe? Let's pray. Our God, we are in awe of you, and we pray that you would make us to be in awe of you. Our God, we pray that as we consider Jesus for who he truly is, that all those other gods that we are tempted to worship in this world would fade away as we behold your glory, as we consider you for who you really are, the eternal, glorious one, the one who is loving and compassionate, the one who sent his Son to take our sins, that we would be with you forever. Our God, continue to reveal yourself to us as we read about Jesus from the Bible. Please, our God, may we as a church love you with our whole heart because you have shown yourself to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.